Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Welcome back, Steve.
Hello, BJ.
Look at this.
We're here. Everyone's here.
Hey, I told you. Yeah, everybody's here. You know, I told you I'd see you next year. Here it is.
Yes, you did.
I promised that I came through.
You know what else you promised us?
What's that?
If the Seahawks lost one game before the season ended.
Oh, yeah.
You would get us all breakfast.
Yeah,
that was a bet you had with your daughter.
Yeah,
the greatest bet ever.
Yeah.
Never been more happy to see the Seahawks lose one game and still make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know what? Seriously, it's exactly what I predicted, though. I predicted they would lose just one game. I thought it'd be to the Chiefs.
Don't even.
Yeah.
You did not say that.
No, I mean, I said they'll win every game. I said that, but I said if there was a game they were going to lose, it was going to be to the Chiefs. I had no idea the Niners would be the problem and the Chiefs actually would be the game we'd win.
Yeah. I did say at the beginning of the season, I'm sure we don't have tape of this, and why would we? Because it's another stupid thing that I said at the beginning of the season. I said they were going to go 10-6, and they did, BJ.
Yeah, you're right. I remember you said that.
Yes. Oh, good. I'm glad I didn't have to prove it.
No, you
I don't have any proof. It would have been smart of me to flag that audio.
Yeah.
Like every time I do with the World Series crap.
Yeah, right. I remember you said we'd go 10-6, and you'd buy breakfast, even if I made a bet saying I'd buy breakfast.
I missed that part.
I
can't find that one in the audio. Sorry, guys.
Not only am I going to buy breakfast, but I'm going to kick myself out of it because I gained way too much weight over the holidays. So I'm now on a moratorium.
Oh, did you go nuts?
Oh, I went crazy.
Awesome.
I haven't been this weight in a long time.
Me too.
Why would you weigh yourself? Oh, because the first of the year.
Oh, don't even.
This motivates me. This gets me so now I know. It's like I look at the number and go, okay, it's what I suspected. What I'm happy about is at least I know where I'm at in life. It's like,
okay,
I never used to know when I was gaining weight until, you know, I started consciously watching it. I knew this was going to be off the rails because it's just how it was going to be.
See, I just assume don't go near the scale. And I'll check it maybe in February.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'll give myself a month to get back on the stick.
Yeah.
And then hope for the best that it's somewhere around. Although I didn't go too nuts. I got sick. I don't know if anyone else did.
Oh.
And you never get sick.
Not like anything awful, but to the point where I wasn't like, I didn't have the same appetite because I just was, it was that kind of sick.
Oh, that's the greatest sick in the world when you don't have appetite.
Yeah, but it was after Christmas. I already put the damage was done.
There you go.
The damage was so done.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, I don't feel so great. And I was like, this is a perfect way to finish the vacation.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's all right. I got through it.
You made it.
I survived.
You came through.
I'm alive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You didn't blindfold yourself and walk on a wall. You didn't do any of that stupid stuff.
I didn't have elves hitting on me.
Oh, well, really?
Apparently happened to Danny V.
Oh, you had elves hitting on you, Danny?
I did. It's the greatest humble brag ever. So Danny will always, a lot of the guys on the show will send me emails of like things that they've done, weekend plans or whatever it may be that could be things we could talk about on the show. First thing that Danny sends me, first sentence, I'm not even joking on this one.
Yeah.
I went to the River of Lights in Albuquerque with Lily, his daughter. It was great. Ended up getting hit on by one of Santa elves. Yes, it was a girl.
Yeah.
Oh. See, I wasn't expecting. Oh, the reason I put that is because I never get hit on. So I was really kind of like, whoa, that's weird. Especially with my daughter and Santa. It was freezing outside and she decided to give me her number. And I was like, this is weird.
Whoa, so she floated your number?
Yeah.
What's the area code in the North Pole?
Wow.
Right? I don't know.
Wow. Oh, she wanted to know the area code of his North Pole, apparently.
Damn.
But I was
more
just
like
really
the South Pole.
Fair.
I was just really surprised. That's why I was like, this never happens. Especially with, like, when I'm with my daughter who's, like, throwing a fit that she can't see Santa.
Maybe if you flirted with the elf, she could have hooked that up.
She did.
So she got you to see Santa.
Yeah, because there was a huge line. And
wait, so she helped you cut the line?
Yeah.
Wow. She wanted some candy cane.
Well, I was like, because Lily was like freaking out because we had already met Santa at the mall. But then we went to this like light festival that they do every year. And she didn't really want to take a picture. She just wanted to tell Santa that she wanted a black cat. And I was like, well, we can't go see him. But she was like crying. And the girl came up to me and was like, oh, you can just walk in.
Go ahead.
Did she help you also tell Santa that she's not going to get a black cat?
Yeah, that's the one she needed help.
Yes. That's the thing you need more help with.
I want a pony. No, you can't see Santa this year.
I'll get you a Barbie and you'll like it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get you a My Little Pony, but that's about it.
Do you think there's certain jobs and certain things that you do where you shouldn't be able to hit on somebody? That seems like a weird thing that, you know what I mean?
Now, you're asking me as if I would ever think that I think there's a job. If I don't care what job it is. If they're hitting on me, I'm happy.
Well, I know, but I mean, do you think there's certain places where you shouldn't cross that line and hit on somebody?
Probably the church.
Funeral home.
Funeral home. Oh, gosh.
Ooh. Well, it depends on who you're hitting on. If it's like the widow, that's a little...
What are you talking about? You know she's available.
Or he.
Yeah, well, that'll be the widower. But yes. Yeah. Either way, yeah, I'd say, look, you know they're available. I think it's completely legit.
Here's my example. Tigger at freaking the Disney park.
Oh, I remember this.
Was it Universe? What is Tigger? Where is he?
He's Disney.
Disney. So it's Disneyland.
Yeah.
And I remember my wife even had to say, remember, this is now Disney World Tigger, so don't get a little weird around him. Because Disneyland Tigger hit on my wife.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
He was dry humping her. He wouldn't let go of her.
Yeah, that's not good.
And I'm thinking, that's not a place where you should be hitting on somebody.
See, Tigger was always Randy. Well, as Randy as he could be in those cartoons. So I feel like the person was just acting character.
Now, if Tigger was going to hook us up with Fast Pass access,
that's a different story.
Hump her leg all you want.
All you want, Tigger.
So Danny got the hookup. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Wow. I was really happy about it. Lily was really happy about it, too.
Yeah.
And your mommy.
Let me ask you a question. Is this a girl that if you were single, you would have been interested in?
Probably.
Oh, well, that's actually even a bigger compliment.
Yeah. Hey, one text says Danny's hot. I'd tap that.
Whoa, look at that.
Find Uncle Chris.
Hey, Chris.
I think it's more, is it more impressive? Because I think gay men have higher standards than the average woman. So I think if you get hit on by a gay man, it's an even bigger compliment.
Oh, that happens to me all the time.
Okay, well, congratulations then. Because I was typically
at a bar crying.
Yeah. It's true.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
And my skinny jeans.
Oh, there's that. Because I was told by a friend of mine, he says, there's nobody who's gay. If they were a self-respecting person in the gay community, they would never hit on you.
Oh, come on.
That's what he told me.
There's at least one visually impaired gay man out there.
Sure. There's got to be someone that's got an issue physically where they don't know what I look like. And then, hey.
Vicky, you think that, is there anywhere that you shouldn't be allowed to hit on someone if you were working?
Besides the funeral home, I think, I was going to say daycare, but no, some of those single moms are hot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, as long as
the
daycare.
Single dads.
Yeah, that too.
With the nanny.
How about a teacher? Because, I mean, people think teachers shouldn't be hitting on anybody.
Students? Yeah, it's kind of frowned upon.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, that's okay. I'm talking about the parents.
Yeah. That would be a weird one, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Positions of authority, I suppose. Yep. But then again, it depends on who you are.
I like how you like bringing up logical ones, but I'm like Tigger from Disneyland. Yeah.
I mean, if I get pulled over by a cop and he gives me his number, I'm not going to be mad, especially if he's hot.
Oh, see, now that you're not supposed to do that either. But yeah, but see, a lot of us may not care, even though you're absolutely right in saying that, even Tigger, if Tigger was, if Minnie was hot, I'd be like, all right, hit on me all you want.
How do you know if Minnie's hot? Minnie could be a dude. It could be that dude that you've always wanted to hit on you.
Yeah.
We have no idea what Minnie is underneath that helmet.
Well, how about that? Then, in that respect, then it's a big win for me because first it's Minnie and I think Minnie's hot. And then secondly, it turns out it's a gay dude who thinks I'm hot. I win each way. It's a great time at Disney World.
Danny probably knows. Is there a certain, do you have to be a female to be Minnie?
No, it's all height based.
Oh, so that could have been a chick that was hitting on my wife.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so much cooler.
That's what it was.
Now
that's
Steve's okay with it.
Not necessarily okay with it, but I'm 80% more okay with it.
Yeah, because if it's a height thing, I mean, women, on average are shorter than men. So, I think that Tigger was a chick.
Oh, someone's got a great suggestion. You shouldn't be hitting on somebody if you're a gynecologist.
Oh.
That's weird. Come on, Vicky.
Well, I'm just thinking of my gynecologist, and she's kind of cute.
But what if it was a dude?
Well, how cute is he?
There you go. Vicky's all about the cute factor. Right,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Kind of on the same lines, I would just say no one, they shouldn't hit on you if they're a dentist or a dental hygienist or anything like that.
Why?
Because their hands in your mouth and then they're checking you out.
Would you rather be the proctologist hitting on you?
No, I don't think anything in the medical field.
I like how you went with dentist or oral hygienist before you went with a proctologist.
That was the first thing that came to mind.
I love it when a proctologist hits on me.
Somebody says, I'm a real estate appraiser. There's no way I would ever hit on any of the contacts or borrowers I meet during my job.
But we've heard stories, right?
Oh, I've seen. I mean, those aren't real, though. I guess.
Oh,
those
movies.
That's a fun tab, though. Category in those websites.
But doesn't art imitate life? Agent. You know what I mean. Therefore, they have to be inspired by a real life experience, right? Real estaters gone wild.
Anyone ever bought a $1 million home because of what the real estate agent did to them?
Oh, $1 million home, though.
I'll buy this if you help me break in the bedroom.
But see, if you're a $1 million home buyer. Maybe you're the kind of person that's like, you know what?
You know what? I got enough money to buy this home. What do you say? You and me, baby. I mean, this person's, I'm a dude, and over the years, I've had three of my son's teachers hit on me.
Wow.
Nailed one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
One for three. That's going to get you a multi-$1 million deal in baseball.
That's a fact. And you wonder, now, if they hit on him, you wonder if it's because it was his choice. He could have been 2 for 3 or even 3 for 3.
I would imagine he could have went 3 for 3 if they hit on him. He probably just was only digging one of them.
Man.
Yeah, it doesn't happen, huh?
No. I mean, I remember a teacher had the hots for my sister. I remember that. That was uncomfortable. But I didn't mind because I thought I was going to get good grades. Until I didn't, then I basically ruined their relationship.
Wait, so you were a student?
I was a student.
And how old was your sister?
My sister is 9 years older than me.
Okay.
And he was a young teacher.
Young
and
he's like, teacher. Yo.
Anyway,
he's like, yo, BJ.
Yeah, I could tell what was up. And I think they might have even dated one time. And I thought, this is awesome. I'm going to get great grades.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't get great grades. So I was like, you know what, buddy? I'm ruining this relationship. You're going to see what happens when you turn on me. So I poisoned him to her.
That started your troll behavior.
That's exactly what it was.
Wow. I don't know how you have the nuts to say something like, hey, hook me up with your sister and that's your student.
Yeah, I know. That was. I mean, nowadays I think, wow, that was really wrong. But this was the 70s and I don't think anybody cared about anything back then because everybody was, hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw the video. This is unbelievable. A fight broke out at a fast food restaurant all because of straws. Steve's going to tell you all about it. He's got the news for you at 6:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9
KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
Well, he's no Pulitzer Prize winner. Hell, he can't even pronounce Pulitzer. This is News with Steve Migs.
Well, thanks, you guys, and happy National Drinking Straw Day.
Oh,
I guess it was on this date back in 1888. The very first artificial drinking straw was patented.
Yeah, now it's outlawed.
And I mean, I know, right? Now the war against straws has begun. A man by the name of Marvin Chesterstone, he was drinking a mint julep when his natural straw, a rye reed, began shredding into his drink, and he said, I need to make some changes.
Yeah.
So he came up with the first ever artificial drinking straw. What he did was he just was winding paper around a pencil and then he held it together with glue. Sounds very toxic. Yeah,
so healthy.
Right. So it's evolved over the time, but hey, congratulations. It's a very special day, which oddly enough falls right in line with this story. I mean, you can't time a holiday better than to tell you this story about a woman who got into a fight with a guy all because of a drinking straw, and this happened at a McDonald's in Florida. So you've seen the video.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm thinking the UFC needs to sign her up and she can maybe be the person that beats John Jones.
She's amazing.
Yeah, or Floyd Mayweather maybe in boxing. I don't know what it is, but that lady could throw some punches. Well, she's an employee over at McDonald's, and apparently some guy by the name of Daniel, he's 40 years old, he's upset because they didn't give him a drinking straw. To the point where he grabs this employee by the name of Yasmin, who fights back with just a flurry of punches. The fight broke out after she was unable to find a straw in the restaurant, or after he wasn't able to find a straw in the restaurant. And then she told him, well, it's by law, you have to ask for a straw now, and all this fun stuff happened.
Wait! Come over here.
I don't know if he was just asking a question.
No, he reached over and grabbed her. He deserved everything he got.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It was amazing. I mean, it was like, he was like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to grab hold of you anymore. And she was like, too late. It's time for you to get a flurry of fists.
McDonald's says they're aware of the incident and cooperating with the police, and they're introducing a new drink called the McFist.
Yeah.
Available at only participating stores in St. Petersburg, Florida.
The McFists of Flurry.
McFist of Flurry. Throw some Oreo crumbles on that.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's funny, though, dude. I thought, like, the whole war against straws was really mostly happening here, but we went up to Vancouver during the New Year's and saw a band at the Commodore Ballroom. And we hit the bar, and they don't give us any straws. And we're like, hey, can we get a couple straws? My wife wanted a straw for a drink. And the guy's just like, yeah, they make us now have to ask. You have to ask in order to get these straws. It's ridiculous. Do you guys have to deal with that, like, in America? And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're battling this, too.
See, that's the thing. I think Canada probably did it first. You know us. We ought to be like Canada.
Well, yeah, that's happening there as well, so... Gotta have some straws, man.
Well, again, not a reason to reach over counter and start, like, just being an idiot with somebody.
No!
I heard he was a little drunk. That's what I heard.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised with the way he was acting. And, you know, sometimes you could just ask for a kidney and get it from your ex-husband 20 years after a divorce. Did you hear about this story?
Well, I'm wondering if someone's gonna punch me before I get it. I mean, if I ask for a straw and get punched, the kidney's gotta give me a kick in the groin, right?
I mean, I don't know. This is crazy. The woman, I mean, she held up the death till we part, even though they already divorce, you're still willing to give him something to keep him alive.
Wait, this is the ex giving away her kidney?
Yes, they're former childhood sweethearts, and the woman's name is Mary, and she provided her ex-husband Bill with a kidney. They met back when they were like 14. They got married at 18.
Whoa.
And they've always stayed cool with each other because they had a couple of kids, and they even stayed close after Bill remarried a few years later. So in February, Bill learned that he needed a kidney, and Mary stepped up and said, all right, you can have mine. Like, what if you're the wife?
Wow.
What are you thinking at that point?
See, I don't think I'd do that.
You wouldn't give your ex?
No, I'm sorry, honey.
I'm all out of kidneys.
I need two of them. Sorry.
I already gave my other one to the ex before you.
Yeah, I know a dude that gave his kidney to somebody, and I don't. And then I think that person died. So it's like, see, now my kidney's gone.
Can you get it back?
I hope so. I would.
I don't know.
I'd be like, let me have that kidney back. It was mine in first place.
Pull it out, clean it up, pop it back in?
Yes.
Is it doable? Any of us doctors?
They harvest organs from people that are dead. Why can't I harvest my organ that I gave him in the first place?
Dude, how about she says, quote, you know, for me, it wasn't even a decision. It was kind of like him calling up and saying, can you come over and help us rake some leaves? That's how I thought of it.
Okay, it's a little bit more than raking leaves, lady.
So, again, any doctor, I don't know how this works with kidneys, but what's going on with the current wife? That she's not willing to hand over a kidney.
That's a good question. Maybe she's not compatible, and then I gotta wonder if she's not kidney compatible, and then is she wife compatible?
This sounds like the making of a really awesome Hallmark movie.
You're right, because they're destined to get back together after this.
You would think so.
And yeah, at this point, it's like the current wife has gotta leave so the Hallmark movie can happen.
This is a very odd study that somebody decided to do. They went around and typed in Google, should I, in different states to see what was the most popular Googled should I question in every state. So, okay. For example, in Pennsylvania, because I know that you love Philadelphia.
I'm a big fan of Philadelphia.
It says, should I have a cheesesteak sandwich? No, it says, should I have a baby? That's the big question.
That's the big question in Philadelphia? No.
Yeah, if you have to Google it, the answer is no.
No, and besides, we don't need any more Philadelphians, okay? Let's stop the breeding in Philadelphia.
How about, should I break up with my boyfriend? That's in Illinois.
Okay.
Should I care? That's in a lot of places, like Idaho, Maine, New Mexico, Oregon, and West Virginia.
Yeah, if I lived in New Mexico, I don't think I would care, because all I have is that stupid pizza.
I think Washington has the best one.
What's ours?
Should I delete Facebook?
Yes!
I think we answered that question.
I gotta love it that Google's the one that has that should I delete Facebook on there for Washington. I think there's something going on.
Oh, man, bummer for us wrestling fans. News came out yesterday that legendary wrestling interviewer was with the WWF, WWE, WCW, Mean Gene Okerlund.
Wow, yeah.
Sadly died at the age of 76. It's crazy to see on the place that we're supposed to delete Facebook. I saw a lot of people who I didn't even realize were wrestling fans at any point in their life talking about how much that one stung because he was a voice of their childhood. I mean, the guy was an iconic character that was always next to those larger-than-life wrestlers. I mean, let me tell you something. Mean Gene was just part of the vernacular for such a long time. He was always great. He played a great straight man. He even did a lot of funny stuff as well, but that's a real bummer. Even at some pizza places. Remember when we were in Cheney? They had Mean Gene's Pizza.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
When was the last time he announced?
He hasn't done any. Like, he was mostly doing, like, the backstage interviews. That was his main thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought him back maybe a year or so ago, just like for a one-off every once in a while. And he does some stuff for like the WWE Network. And he's up until, I mean, now he's always still kind of been seen, not on the same level as it used to be. But, I mean, it's been a long time since he was a regular fixture on WWE.
So probably one of the longest running people you know from that network.
Oh, yeah.
On the whole, from the universe, really.
I mean, as far as like a wrestling personality that wasn't a wrestler, he's one of the biggest, if not the biggest. It's crazy. It's a bummer. He died at the age of 76. And a fun little fact, Jesse the Body Ventura gave him his Mean Gene moniker. But I always loved when he interviewed the Iron Sheik, he would screw it up and call him Gene Mean.
Gene Mean, of course he would.
Yeah. As far as weather, 52 degrees and rain.
All right. Well, we also had a death of somebody who I had no idea. I've watched him for a long time, had no idea he was the guy he was.
Okay, I'm glad you're saying this because I didn't realize this as well. Oddly enough, I think he was 76 as well.
Yeah, Bob Einstein, two-time Emmy winner who played Marty Funkhauser on HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm, who I've seen that character for years on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I didn't know he was the same dude who was Super Dave Osborne. I had no idea that was the same actor.
Man, I loved Super Dave when I was a kid.
I'll be honest,
Funkhauser.
All this time, I always thought Super Dave Osborne was his name, Dave Osborne.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't know it was a guy just playing a character.
Yeah, and I had no idea. Not only that, he was 76 years old, and when he passed away, had recently been diagnosed with cancer, and he was the older brother to actor director Albert Brooks, which I didn't know that either.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, so I know all these people, didn't know they were all related the way they were, unfortunately, I mean, 76 years old. You know, you live into 76, have the career that Bob had. Again, Bob Einstein, who played Marty Funkhauser on Curb Your Enthusiasm, which a lot of us know from that, but then he was Super Dave, which we know from the 80s and 90s.
Super Dave was awesome.
Yeah, I had no idea. Same guy.
Everything that could go wrong went wrong for him. Does Danny or Vicky know who Super Dave Osborne is?
No. I don't even know what Curb Your Enthusiasm is.
Okay. We'll talk to just Vicky in this situation.
God, wow.
It was a show on HBO.
Yeah, do you know Seinfeld?
No.
We've gone through this,
yeah. That's right. He's the one you made watch Seinfeld, and he kind of liked it.
2019, the year we stopped asking Danny about Seinfeld.
Right. Damn. Oh, man. Well, of course, Curb Your Enthusiasm, in order to be on that show, you have to be a great improvisational performer. A lot of actors are really, really good, but then you throw them on the spot, and we've known this by doing interviews. They're just not good on their feet.
He was always great with Letterman.
Yeah. Well, and you can understand why he was good on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. It blows my mind. He's Super Dave, and he's also Funkhauser, and of course, his real name is Bob Einstein, passed away at 76. And Danny, you don't know Curb Your Enthusiasm, but we got a scene right here where Marty Funkhauser, Einstein, explains to Larry David that he's now an orphan.
Let me explain something to you.
Sure.
I lost my dad a year ago. My mother just died. I'm an orphan, okay?
You know what?
I'm an orphan.
Orphan?
Yeah, an orphan.
You're a little too old to be an orphan.
No, if you don't have parents, you're an orphan.
Oh, you could be 70 and be an orphan?
You could be 100 and be an orphan.
Oh, you can't be 100 and be an orphan.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Little Orphan Funkhauser.
Yeah. And here's a clip of him when he was playing Super Dave, and that's the dude that did all these wacky stunts that always went wrong.
Super Dave, are you almost ready for today's stunt?
Yes, John, I am, and I'm getting ready for what will probably be my most spectacular stunt. It's a very difficult stunt. I've never done it with a blindfold before, but now it's all between me and the man in the crane, and don't do anything until I say go. What they're going to try to do is crush me with an 11-ton metal...
And he kind of dressed like Evil Knievel.
Yeah,
so he was like Evil Knievel that could never do anything right.
And that was why it was such a great
Danny
thing.
Danny has no idea who Evil Knievel is.
Yeah, Danny, he doesn't know.
He rode a motorcycle, right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And that's why Super Dave was so awesome, because of the fact it was such a great parody of Evil Knievel and the Daredevils of the time. Now you hear his voice and you go, well, of course it's Funkhauser, but I never put the two together. Never put the two together. Again, Bob Einstein, who played Marty Funkhauser, played Super Dave Osborne, passed away at 76 years old. Man, dude. They're all going, Steve.
Someone said you should check out him and Jerry Seinfeld in Comedians in Cars. It's really hilarious. And another person, apparently, who passed away at the age of 76 as well. Weird. They always say things come in threes. It's Captain Tennille.
Oh, yeah, Daryl Dragon.
Okay.
Yeah, the captain of Captain and Tennille.
How do you go by the captain when your name is Daryl Dragon?
I know. How crazy is that?
Or at least go by Captain Dragon.
Right? They were such a soft rock, really light
like
rock. Yeah, they were yacht rock, really, before yacht rock. I mean, they were originally the yacht rock.
He wore a captain's hat, yeah.
Yeah. But they had a lot of hits, and they were, I mean, my, like, in the 70s, they were one of the stuff, my mother always loved that stuff when, you know, those guys. And
I just realized it was Captain Antoniel. I always thought he was Captain Tenniel.
No, it's Captain Antoniel. Yeah, okay. Tony Tenniel was the girl.
Oh.
Yeah, and he was Daryl Dragon, but he's just known as the Captain.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rev. I think if they ever turned into, like, a metal band, it should be Dragon and Tony.
Yeah.
Or Tony Dragon.
Yeah, and if you guys don't remember, he played the keyboard, and they had a lot of great songs, including this one.
Remember this one at all?
Yes.
But it didn't, because they got divorced.
Yeah, you're right. Love couldn't keep them together, apparently. Now, for my mother, this was like really jazzy music. I mean, you know, it's light rock, but they still had a beat to it.
Man, that weird keyboards make me think that the Captain smoked a lot of pot.
Oh, yeah.
They might not have been a heavy band, but they were like stoner rock.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely listen to those keyboards, those are weird as F.
Yeah, that's why they were a hit. I think because you're absolutely right, Steve. Even though it was like light rock, yacht rock, there was some stoner vibe in there. And they were popular. They were really popular.
Like, you could put on your headphones and probably enjoy a nice, you know, stoner-influenced experience.
There were a lot of young people rocking out to those guys, even though sure. They were old person, supposedly old person's music. But like you said, that stoner vibe, I think, really brought a lot of people in.
Were they old people's music back then?
You know, my mother loved them. Yeah. And she was, you know, she was my mother and people of her generation. But they were obviously popular enough with the young people because they had number one hits. But old people loved the Captain and Tennille. And they had their own TV show for a little bit, I think. If I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, they were super, super popular, but you listen to that music and you think, you know, I mean, it's really, you know, I mean, it's kind of yacht rocky, light rocky, lame rocky.
And then another bummer one of passing locally was Blake Nordstrom. Did you see that?
Yes, I did, yeah.
58?
Fourth gen. Yeah, see, that really hit me. I read the news about Blake because I think he's the fourth generation of Nordstrom's running the company, like, you know, making the retail store what it is. And, you know, 58, that's how old I am. And it's like, damn.
Dude, what a start to 2019.
It's not good.
Right?
Yeah. Because I think of like people like Blake Nordstrom and Paul Allen, they got all the resources at their disposal, you know, because, I mean, they've had good, you know, good, successful financial lives. And it's just like, it don't matter sometimes. I mean, sometimes nature just comes and gets you.
Yeah, I think about that with me. I mean, obviously, my uncle was not wealthy to the level of these guys, but my uncle did very well for himself and ran like companies and like had all the money in the world, could afford anything. And then when cancer hit him, you know, they had the best doctors in the world, man. It didn't matter.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a tough one. The Nordstrom family has done so much great stuff for this area, and of course now one of the top national retail department stores ever. They have set the standard while we've seen other department stores go down the toilet, and I think it's because Nordstrom just, you know, they do it the right way, and those other places didn't.
Yeah, I listened to my mom. I talked to her just the other day, and she went to the ending of the final day of Lord & Taylor in New York.
Yes,
which is kind of like a Nordstrom type store.
It was supposed to be, yeah.
It was pretty, like, you know. Like,
yeah, fancy.
Yeah, so she went down there and she said it was really weird. Like, they were selling everything. Like, even, like, the shelvings. And they were selling them for ridiculous prices because it was Lord & Taylor.
It's just, and, you know, those are iconic names. I mean, in my area, we had Filene's in the Boston area, Jordan Marsh, all that. These are all Nordstrom-like stores as far as the quality. Yeah. Now, whether or not the service, I have no idea because I didn't care about that stuff growing up. But they were the same quality. And there's a lot of stores like that, you know, that just didn't make it. And Nordstrom is kicking ass.
That's weird, though, about the go back to the three that passed, that they're all 76 years old.
Yeah, that's
mean
right.
Gene.
Daryl Dragon, yeah, the captain.
Captain Dragon, my bad.
Yeah, and Bob Einstein.
And Super Dave, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
76, dude, that was not the spirit. Not at all. Damn, you're right. What a tough start to 2019. Well, you're still here, Steve.
Thanks.
That's the good news.
Luckily.
Right?
There's a segue.
There is. That's the only good news I have for you people.
Who else is here?
Yeah.
Steve.
Steve's here.
Vicky's alive, too,
Vicky. Yeah,
BJ.
Vicky made it. Well, Vicky, we weren't sure about either. So you both are still here.
More importantly, the Seahawks playoff hopes are alive, yes, BJ, this Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I listen, please.
I cannot wait.
Please do not take a cue from the Huskies. Please, let's play more than a quarter of football. Please.
Dude, we sat down, had our food. We were excited. You know, my wife went to UW, so we were pumped for the Huskies. We're sitting down like, let's just see something. And man, what was it, 28 to 3 or something like that?
Yeah,
at one
exactly.
Point?
Yeah, it was ugly.
So we gave up.
Yeah.
We just said, screw it, let's put on a movie. Like, we don't need to watch this anymore. There's no hope. And then we go back, and it's like, oh, they made it a close one. 23 or something?
Yeah. Well, everything happened in the fourth quarter, so you just decided after the third quarter you were done.
Yep.
And everything happened in the fourth quarter, which, you know, it's tough to come back 28 points in one quarter. If they could have started a little earlier, like maybe, I don't know, halfway through the third quarter, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. But the Cougs won, though. That was cool.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, which is so odd just because, you know, of the Apple Cup and everything. But, I mean, look, Ohio State was the sixth-ranked team. They were supposedly better than us if you go by college football rankings. And then people do talk about how maybe the Pac-12 wasn't as strong as other conferences. So either way, you know, I mean, it's still they made it an interesting game. They made it a fun game, and I'm sure they sure had the Ohio State fans just like oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I should have had the same spirit I have whenever I watch a Hawks game. You never give up because you never know what's going to happen at the end. I just had that feeling like this is done.
You just had no reason to think
this
they were going to
make fun to watch.
I don't blame you if you're a Husky. I mean, you just sit there. I mean, the people that went down and traveled, because I saw a lot of Huskies and Ohio State fans at the airport yesterday,
and it sounded loud. I mean, at first before the game started, like you heard the Huskies fans while watching it on TV.
Yeah.
He was like, okay. They got some you know, energy there.
Well, let's hope this Saturday it's a whole different story.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, and we're the evening game, marquee game.
That is true.
Saturday night game. That's
Prime
a nice
time.
Thing.
That's a good thing.
I like it. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one right.
What are the three colors on the flag of Russia?
Red and yellow.
No.
Wait, no, red, white, and blue.
Yes.
Yeah, you were thinking old school. You were thinking CCP days. Or
CCCP.
CCCCCCPP.
Just three C's, man. I don't even know that because of the hockey jersey.
Yeah, that's true. That's a cool one. Didn't like the country. The jersey was kind of cool. You want a shot at beating Steve? 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 647 on the Rock.
Awful country. Awesome jerseys.
Yeah, exactly.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. What's the difference between filing for bankruptcy and credit counseling?
Credit counseling is a useful process in some circumstances, but it does show up on your credit. In fact, from a credit scoring standpoint, credit counseling shows up just like a bankruptcy, so it's going to affect your credit as negatively as filing bankruptcy. In credit counseling, the idea is that a credit counselor works with your creditors on your behalf to try to lower interest rates or work out payment plans with your creditors to pay back your debt over time. In credit counseling, you almost always pay back 100% of the debt, sometimes at lower interest. And of course, some creditors will participate in that process and some won't. So you're usually left with kind of a mixed result with credit counseling and, of course, a high payment.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.